This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
En Camino with Kit Hogg.
And welcome back. Our guest this morning is Andrew Deer, who is on the line from Bilbao. Andrew is an award-winning travel guide writer and volunteer Samaritan listener who recently returned from the frontline Ukrainian city of Kharkiv. Andrew, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jane.
Now, you've just returned from Ukraine, Kharkiv no less, which is 30 kilometres from the front line. What were you doing there?
Well, I was a volunteer at a kitchen that serves meals to, prepares meals for hospitals, for all different kinds of organizations that need food now. The hospitals are, you know, overworked. They don't have enough resources to feed the patients, the soldiers who have been wounded, civilians who've been wounded, and as well as, you know, elderly people, anybody who needs help. They've been able to provide up to 2,000 meals a day from the very beginning of the invasion, 3 years now.
Wow. And just backtracking a little bit, how did you get there?
Well, it took a lot of internet searches and calls to Kharkiv about how to go about it, but there are several train connections from Poland into Ukraine. I went through a city called Chelm, Chelm, in Poland, mm-hmm. And took an overnight train to Kyiv, about 16 hours, and then I transferred there to a train onto Kharkiv.
Did you stop off on in any cities on the way?
No, I just wanted to get there, so I kept on going. Really, I had about an hour in Kyiv and just transferred trains there.
Okay,
it was interesting when I got to Kyiv, when I got to my platform for Kharkiv. It was very it really hit me that yes, I'm going to a war zone, because on the platform you would see girlfriends and wives mostly, and mothers, you know, tearfully, you know, holding on to their husbands or boyfriends or sons, you know, tearful goodbyes. It was very emotional to see that, and I knew that I was that this was real.
And you were going off with these people to that front line with them. I mean, and you arrived in Kharkiv, and then did you have someone to sort of show you to where to go? I mean, or could you understand? Could anybody understand you?
Right. Well, the volunteer corps is very organized. I was volunteering at an organization called Hell's Kitchen, and the volunteer coordinator, who's American, met me at the station, and I was kind of shell shocked. I didn't know what to expect. My imagination kind of, you know, expected, like, you know, people scurrying, racing away from drone strikes and everything, but it was very calm. It was very beautiful, a gorgeous old train station, and they showed me around, drove me right to my apartment, my Airbnb.
Okay, and you were there on your own, were you, in this Airbnb, or were there other volunteers? Because I think that's
there
what you
were.
Yeah.
There were, usually there's about, I believe, 15 or 20 international volunteers working in the kitchen. In the kitchen, there's basically, you have to be flexible, do whatever is needed, but there's a bakery and also meal preparation. And probably, I don't know, 30 or so local Ukrainian volunteers who are regularly there. The volunteers come from all over, you know.
Okay.
U.S., U.K., Australia, Germany, okay. All over the world.
Okay. And when did this kitchen actually start up?
I believe literally the day after the invasion. Yeah, in 2022, I believe. Yeah. They've been working in operation every day since.
Wow. Even during the bombings?
Yes. In 2024, I believe, there was a real incursion by Russian troops to enter Kharkiv. And I think there were some battles in some of the outer neighborhoods of the city. And they were the kitchen didn't cease.
Andrew, could you tell us? Give us a typical day at Hell's Kitchen. How did that work?
Well, every day there's a list of the needs for the day, like how many meals go to this hospital, how many go to this community center. So that gives you an idea of the quantity of food to make. And the Ukrainian ladies, they're mostly ladies who work in the kitchen, they make wonderful, delicious, homemade Ukrainian cuisine.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about the food. What's the food like? What were you preparing?
Yeah.
Was it dumplings?
Well, they didn't make so many dumplings, but they made like very hearty stuff, you know, and stuff that could be reheated easily. And then there's the bakery, which is the side part of the kitchen. So it's always a beehive of activity. And there's all kinds of like donations coming in, and we have to get, unload this truck, and then people come to pick up food and meals. But it's a very, very convivial environment. People are glad to be there, glad to be offering, a hand, because it's so needed and important.
So it was good. It was a good vibe. Yeah, it was good morale. Did you enjoy being there? Did you enjoy the working life in Hell's Kitchen?
Oh, sure. And it's very convivial, and the international volunteers would often get together afterwards for a drink or something like that, and we would have. Celebrations from time to time with the Ukrainians and the international volunteers. It was a very nice vibe.
Yeah, and that sense of teamwork I'm getting.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds great. Jenny, you wanted to talk about a video that
yes.
Andrew had sent, yeah?
Yes.
Which is somehow illustrative of the spirit that exists in Kharkiv.
It was just extraordinary. It was a rather beautiful video of ladies singing in a choir in the outside, in the fresh air. A lot of people around, what looked like kind of containers stacked up behind with more people in. Anyway...
Yeah.
Can we play a little of this?
Well, presumably, Andrew, you took that video, yeah?
I didn't, but my a friend of mine who's also a volunteer, Paul from the UK, he was there. It's this beautiful, like you described, Jane, like outdoor eatery with containers, very hip. I felt very out of place with nice DJs and stuff like that. And that night, this choir performed, and Paul was there, and he recorded it.
And so here it is.
And at some point during this performance, there's a drone attack.
There is a sound in the background. Well, I could hear it.
There are sirens going, and
There are sirens going. Mm-hmm.
And what's extraordinary is the reaction of the members of the choir and the audience.
Yes. Yeah. These air raid sirens. I learned. Happen all the time, day and night, and you just become accustomed to it. It's like the background music to Kharkiv. And anyway, they were singing, the air raid sirens began, and instead of stopping the music and what do we do, they sang louder.
How wonderful.
And it was very, very emotional, and the crowd there responded, gave them a standing ovation. It was quite a moving experience.
Quite a show of strength and determination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, and my friend Paul said it was like they were saying, to the world, to the Russians, you won't silence us.
Good. Excellent. Mm. Nice to hear.
Tell us about the impact that, for example, the drones had on your sleep patterns. How difficult was it to get a good night's sleep?
Well, there's a constant threat. You can go through your day, and Kharkiv is a beautiful city, very green, beautiful architecture. Immaculate gardens and parks, cafes are bustling, and you can trick your mind into thinking that this is a normal, beautiful city, but then you'll see, you walk maybe a block over and you see buildings with all the windows are shuttered with plywood. They've been attacked, hit by drones, or worse, buildings destroyed, and so anyway, the threat of drones was constant, especially late at night. It seemed like the Russians tried to. It was more like a psychological warfare to just disrupt and demoralize people. With drone attacks, at 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. So there were a couple of times when I was there, I would hear the drones. It's very quiet at night in Kharkiv. There's a curfew. There's no traffic. And a couple of times I would hear drones in the distance kind of circling around. And they would sound like lawnmowers, kind of. Hmm. And I would be up and wondering, do I need to, rush down to the basement? What do I need to do? And a couple of times I did have to do that. So you just have to be always, always ready, I think. I had a little emergency bag if I needed to, rush out. I had my passport and money and whatever essentials.
So were the sirens going off in the middle of the night as well, or could you just hear the drones?
Sirens, yes, and my routine was, you'd hear the sirens, you would get an alert on your cell phone, your mobile, and then I discovered that there is a better way, a more accurate way to figure out what was going on, which was a signal channel from the city, and they would tell you, okay, there's five Shahed drones arriving in towards this neighborhood or this part of the Kharkiv Oblast, you know, the province.
Mm-hmm.
So that would give you a better idea about where these, where the threat was, you know, imminent.
Okay.
So
did you get a sense of how well protected the city was with a Patriot missile system that took drones out? Did one of those exist? Did you feel protected?
I don't know.
Umbrella of protection?
No, not really. But you would hear in the distance, you would hear like gunfire, defense personnel like trying to shoot down drones.
Sure.
You would hear that. Uh-huh.
And were bombs actually going off? Were they dropping bombs?
Yes, yeah. I was never in immediate danger, but I did have to run down, you know, and, seek shelter. At least I thought I did. You know, it seems like the people in Kharkiv are very tough. They've been through this for 3 years. They live with this. So they're not as, they're a little bit, not as on edge as somebody like me who's just passing through for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
One time I went down, I was scared to death, and it was actually the night of the biggest drone attack on Kharkiv since the start of the war. And I rushed down, and in the lobby of where I was staying, and the security guard was down there snoring. He was totally unbothered, you know.
Nobody else rushed down with you?
Yeah, no, just me.
So, Andrew, I wanted to ask you what you take away with you from Kharkiv. What's the impression that you take away?
Well, it's the resilience of the people, really. It's just amazing. I'm in awe of it, and the people who they go about their lives. They won't let Russia break them. They go to poetry festivals underground in the metro stations, ballet performances. They go to raves. I found that there's an underground rave every 3 or 4 months. People dance. People of all ages dance. People go walking in the park with their family, picking flowers, walking their dogs, you know, going to cafes. It's this quiet strength and resilience. You know, you won't, they call it the unbreakable city, undefeatable city, and that's what I most remember.
Wow, what a wonderful tale. Andrew, will you be going back there?
Well, I think so. I that's kind of the experience of all the volunteers. They go to Kharkiv, they experience, they show their solidarity with the people, and it becomes part of you, and you want to return. You want to do your, you know, offer your little grain of sand to the effort. So I would like to go back.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And I really hope, you know, if you do go back, or actually if anybody would like to learn more about the volunteering there, what should they do? Is there a way of finding out?
I found out about Hell's Kitchen on a website. I think it's called Volunteering in Ukraine.
Okay.
And there's many opportunities for international volunteers and working in kitchens, working like making camouflage netting for the front, working with animals, Odessa, Kyiv, all over the country. So
Excellent. Thank you very much. And I think you can also go onto Instagram and punch in Hell's Kitchen Kharkiv, and you can join them. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to speak to you, and maybe we can have a chat again at some other time about more of your adventures.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jane.
Andrew, goodbye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye. Take care.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.